love singing by myself in the church in my old hymn books, my old Zion books. I have some of them in the old Sonship Kingdom days, and I also have hymn books, and I've been learning so many extra verses, have thine own way, so many powerful verses. One of the verses is that when, you know, when they look upon me, that they'll see him and him alone. Isn't that the desire of our hearts? That they don't see you, but they see him. And so, the length, the breadth, and the height must be equal. Praise God. Now here's a man standing in this pulpit who was one of the worst math students in history. And the Lord has me teach spiritual math at times. And I remember having a man named Brother Hoyer, a brother from Sweden, sat me in a classroom. And this brother was an amazing man of God that knew what all the numbers of the Bible meant. And nobody was interested. I think I was the only one, Brother Johnson. I was in class. And this was a man that gave me all those numbers that represent the overcomer and the bride. And him and I sat there, and I wept as he wrote on the blackboard. It was just me who showed up. He was mentioned in a convention. There would be an afternoon class on the numbers of the Bible. I couldn't wait to get there. This poor math student. I want to hear. If I can't understand the others, I want to understand the numbers of God. And I remember some of them. But you could barely understand him. He was Swedish. And I was touched by his life. He knew John Wright Follett. He was friends with him. He was a powerful man of God. And I've always been a person that has sought out spiritual fathers. I've had many. Praise God. And I know in this church, we believe that. And so he measured the wall, verse 17. 144 cubits, according to the measure. And we don't have time to go to Revelation 14, but the 144 number represents the corporate number of manhood for the church. And then so now in Revelation 14 we get to 144,000. And why is a thousand? Because thousands speaks of rulership. Rulership. Why thousands? Because many will rule, not just one. Praise. So many think, oh, just the apostles will rule. No, we'll be there. We'll be there. Amen. And so the 144 seems to pop up in the book of Revelation. And the building of the wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like on a clear glass. Nothing of man in this wall. Now, the purpose of the wall is to protect those that are inside and to keep out foreign elements. Amen. And that's why in the Word of God, we just saw Arlene last Sunday morning, our church led that song, "We Have a Strong City." We do have a strong city whose builder and maker is God. And the enemy's not going to penetrate your city. He's not going to get in there because you've been clothed with Christ. Amen. We have a strong city. There's a wall. Amen. There's a wall of salvation around the people of God. But then there's gates also. And the gate in verse 25, the gates of it shall not be shut it at all, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations. I've talked to many people. When I got back from India, my wife and I went through great suffering there. We were used. We thought there'd be a lineup to hear about it. Not many people were interested. Why? Because we're only interested in our family, our church, our ministry, and God's doing something among the nations. And we need to be part of it. I am grieved when I talk to disinterested Christians that don't care what goes on in the nations. What's the answer to the U.S. and Canada praying for other nations? I'm thankful. I believe there's a bombardment of prayer going on for the Ukraine right now. If you want your family to turn around, pray for somebody else's. If you want your body healed, pray for the sick. Lay hands on them. Praise God. There's a brother that I know, one of the gifted teachers in our circle. He has heart problems. And he was in a church meeting, a Deeper Life conference. And there was a seasoned brother who had just gone through a stroke. He felt that he needed to pray for this brother who had these heart problems. And that brother, he didn't get healed, but the brother that had the stroke got instantly healed because he pray for somebody else. Amen. So this is what the city of God is composed of. Living stones that are built with others. They're not standing by themselves. Amen. Working in a church, there's love that comes to you that won't come otherwise. There's also rubbings that we get. You can't get by sitting home where people just leave you alone. When we're in the body, things, I mean, it was combustion. Sometimes we don't agree with people. Amen. But you know what? This is how we're built together. Amen. The Word of God says in verse 27, "And there shall in no wise enter into anything that is defiled, neither whatever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Praise God. And the Lamb's Book of Life is not a life thing. It's not one initial experience that will cause you to be there, because I do not go along with eternal security. I believe that I'm eternally secure, but I don't believe in eternal security. Now that sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? No man can take you out of my hand, says Jesus, but I sure could do it. Demas has forsaken me. It's very interesting, in the book of Colossians, Paul talks about Demas. And he talks about Luke. He says, "Demas and Luke, they greet you." And then when we see those two together again in the vocabulary of Paul, he says, "Demas has forsaken me and has loved this evil present world. Maybe even know that he went back." It's more than just losing the ministry. Probably lost his salvation. I tell you what, the devil will fight you for your salvation. And our choices will determine wherever we end in eternity. Amen? Not anything comes through the gates of the city. Amen? Praise God. Even when the merchants were coming into the city, they had to unload their load, and the camel used to have to crawl on their knees to go through. And we're not going to carry any loads into the kingdom. And the young rich ruler was not willing to unload at the gate. He thought he could get in by being who he is. Interesting thing about the young rich ruler, and I've been ministering to young people all my life. The young are sometimes unwilling to be taught. That's always the sign of someone who's young in the Lord, is they're very argumentative and they never listen to anybody. That is always the sign of youngness in God. I don't care how many years you've been saved, I don't care how many years you've been in ministry. And then rich. It means that we're satisfied with the riches we have. Now, the riches could be material, but it also could be the giftings and the salvation, the way of testimony we have. We can become so happy with that that we don't want to go further than that. And then he was a ruler, and that means he wants to be in charge. Like Jesus, when he said, "And they said that no man would rule over me," and Jesus brought judgment upon them because of that. So the ruler means I'm in charge. Jesus is not in charge. Amen. Not anybody gets into the city. Many will go to heaven. Heaven will have vast multitudes. Vast multitudes. But God is calling us to the city of God. And he wants us to have the full measurement. He doesn't want us to settle. Now, it's not up to me to tell you where I think you are. It's not up to you to tell me where I am. Right? Because I'm not the one who measures. Jesus measures. Amen. Praise God. We just speak the word, and the Lord, he does the measuring. He's measuring you today. He wants to find out. That's why he said that no man can add a cubit to himself, because he does the measuring. It's not up to us to measure our progress or anybody else's. Amen. And so the Lord wants to bring us into the man who measures. A lot of people love the one who saves, who gives joy, who gives peace, and can heals. And there's very few that want the Lord that will bring the discipline to us. Amen? I'm so glad that I'm in a network of brothers. That we used to be the young trainees. Now God is making us the fathers. We don't come to one another and say, "Brother, you need to be corrected." We have dialogue one with the other, and I sit under the brethren. I listen to them, the young and the old. And brethren, words from my colleagues rebuked me. And the brothers didn't even come to me in discipline. But the true word of God will divide asunder the soul from the spirit of our lives. Amen. And the Bible says, let the righteous smite me with kindness. And I've got more kindness than most people. I've had smitings of God. I've had smiting from brethren. Sometimes it was anointed, sometimes it wasn't. But God allowed it. See, many things in our life that have come as correction is not come to make us better. It's come to make us better. Amen? Praise God. Let's stand on our feet and have a word of prayer. I'm going to turn it back to the worship team, Pastor Terry, in a moment. Amen. I know we like to have a... Brother, I did it today. The first time in history. 12:30. It's the first time in history that I preached at 12:30 today. Amen. And I remember one time, for years, Brother McKinnon gave up after a while. Terry, he was very patient with me. Brother McKinnon gave up after a while. He said, 12:30, brother, you got to be done. So one day, I preached and I turned to the associate pastor and I said, brother, I said, it's 12:30, I listened to the pastor today. He said, no, believe it or not, that clock is dead. And so I've been notoriously known in this church as the man who kills the clock. And that brother, he never let me hear the end of it, but every time I came, he announced me that way. He said, amen. But the Lord's time is unlimited, isn't it? And what he can't do with the word in your life when you're here on a Sunday, he will work out with you all week. And I don't want to make it gruesome and make it sound like he's working on us to hurt us. But he's working with you. Because he needs your will. He needs your will to work. He's not going to do anything that you don't permit him to do. Amen. And Father, we're just thankful today that we've stood before this great congregation and we've declared your counsel. We thank you for your mercy, the goodness of God, that leads all men to repentance. I pray, Lord, that you will continually measure until we've arrived where you want us. Lord, we pray not just for our nation, but we pray for all nations of the earth, which would include Russia, which would include the Ukraine, China, and many other countries. And Lord, we know the nations are as a drop in the bucket. And we're asking, O God, Father, that you will shape the nations until there's a bending to you of thy purpose. And Lord, we as thy people, we cry out to you. We're needy today. We've not arrived. Humble us. Lord, change our body language, our talk, our demeanor. Make us disciples of the King. Lord, we want to be people who feel like we know about it. Help put the yoke upon us. Always the evidence of a man or a woman who doesn't have the yoke, God, upon the harvest of God. We're quick to make predictions. Lord, help us to be not attuned to the voice of man, but to the voice of Jesus. Lord, help us to have our ears to you. Lord, that you would have your way. I thank you for my Canadian family, Lord. Brethren here that have been so much to me. I thank you for them all. And I bless them in the name of Jesus.